the rest of the story. In the roaring, frolicking, wonderful make-believe world of the circus, Bozo was one of the brightest stars of all. You and I were youngsters when Bozo was in center ring, for this was some years ago. Bozo would waltz and pirouette, lie down and play dead. At the grand finale, swinging a flagstaff in his outstretched trunk, he would lead the circus band. But then one day, Bozo began to sulk. This was not some physical ill that the skill of the circus veterinarian could find. This was something more, and it got worse. It got so Bozo would trumpet angrily at the boys and girls who offered peanuts. Three times within a week he tried to kill his keeper. Nothing would calm him. And that was when the authorities finally decided that Bozo was a public menace and told the owner that he would have to be destroyed. In those days, there were no humane authorities to protect animals from the careless and the cruel. There was no animal shelter, no society to protest the day the callous manager decided to make up his loss by selling tickets to Bozo's execution. On Saturday morning, the main tent was filled, army rifles were racked, the firing squad was ready, and Bozo was waiting. In his big circular cage, Bozo trudged round and round. Now and then he'd lift his trunk and bellow as though he knew. Outside the cage, the ringmaster in shiny top hat and tail coat was ready to give the signal. Suddenly a hand was placed on his shoulder, and he turned, and there stood a short, stocky man with an inconspicuous brown mustache, thick lens glasses, and a brown derby hat. "Wouldn't you like to keep that elephant alive?" the stranger asked. "No chance," growled the manager. "He's a bad elephant." "Well," the stranger said, "let me go in the cage with him for a couple of minutes. I'll show you you're wrong. I've brought along a legal release for you. All the risk is mine." Briskly, the unknown man removed his hat and coat. "And now," he said matter-of-factly, "you may open the door." Bozo halted his incessant prowl, turned bloodshot eyes toward the steel door, trembled as the bolts shot back. The small man, unarmed, stepped inside and slammed the door behind him. Bozo gave one warning squeal of wrath, and then suddenly the intruder began to speak, softly. But after the first few syllables, the elephant grew warily quiet. The tense audience could not recognize a word, but it was almost as though the elephant could. The droning voice went on in a tender, quiet cadence, and presently Bozo gave a small cry, childlike and piteous. Then the enormous head began to wag from side to side. Venturing nearer, the stranger patted the long trunk, and then, with the end of the trunk curled around his wrist, he slowly began to promenade with the elephant around the cage. The audience went wild. Cheers piled upon cheers until they reached a crashing crescendo and clung there. And when finally the little man left the cage, he told the manager, "There's nothing bad about Bozo. He grew up in India and he was lonesome, that was all. I talked to him in Hindustani and made him feel at home. He'll be all right for a long time now." The manager stretched out his hand, but the stranger appeared not to notice, or perhaps he did notice and could not bring himself to shake hands with a man who would sell tickets to a slaughter. Anyway, he just left. And it was not until then that the manager noticed. The manager, staring down at this legal release, saw the signature, and the light began to dawn. For the signature that was inscribed thereon was Rudyard Kipling. Now you know the rest of the story.